Before we get into this week's episode, I just wanted to give you guys a little warning ahead of time. I realize that both franchises have their fans, but I am going to be talking a lot of shit about these two newest additions. One in particular, I'm not going to get into that yet. I'm just going to let it be a surprise, but if you know me, you know which one it's going to be. But like I said, as I realize, both franchises have their fans, and that's perfectly fine. These are my opinions. You know, if you like it, that's fucking great. Keep liking it. I'm just saying that I don't, and I'm going to be talking a lot of shit about these two newest additions to these two franchises. So stay off on the hateful emails and all that shit. These are just my opinions. You guys can like what you like, but I also have the right to hate what I hate. Now, let's get on with the show. Freaks and Tomb Dwellers, and welcome back to another episode of Tombs of Horror. As always, I'm your host, Dustin. Before we get into the episode proper, I just wanted to talk about a couple things. Number one, my band, Raped by Wolves, new album, Devil's Due, is out now on all the regular music streamers, which include Spotify, YouTube, Deezer, Apple Music, iTunes, and everything else. Sorry, I just woke up not too long ago, so my brain really isn't functioning all that well right now. But anyway, I also wanted to address something really quick. I am fully aware, obviously, that my release schedule for these episodes has become pretty fucking erratic as of late. And that's like I've said in past episodes. Sometimes life just gets in the way. And there are actually quite a few times when I really don't feel like doing an episode for the week. It's nothing personal about you guys. Sometimes I just really don't feel like sitting here and talking for however long I end up talking. But I'm going to do my best to do better at releasing episodes on a more regular schedule. But sometimes, like I've said before, there might only be one episode for a month. And other times there might be three in one week or one every week. It just depends on what is going on in my life at the moment or if I really feel like doing an episode. I'll try to do better when it comes to having a set schedule. I believe it used to be like every Friday or Monday I'd release an episode, or even sometimes every Monday. And like I said before, sometimes there would be three episodes a week. I don't think I'm going to go back to doing three episodes a week, to be quite honest. But I will do my best to get at least one new episode out every week. Sometimes I might do what I used to do and record one episode and release it, but also record another episode with that one back to back, so I have it in the bank just in case I don't really feel like doing an episode, but I can still release something out to you guys. But anyway, so for this episode, there's been two big releases that everybody's been highly anticipating this most spooky of seasons, and that is Hulu's 2022, obviously, remake of Hellraiser, and the big one, Halloween Ends. I have seen both of these movies, and I'm going to talk about them. Some of you might not like what I have to say about these two newest additions to these two franchises, but hey, that's what I do on this podcast, you know. I tell it like how I think it is. And if you don't like it, you don't need to listen to this podcast. I'd appreciate it if you still did, obviously. But, I mean, everyone is entitled to their opinions. They're like assholes. Everyone has one. And I'm kind of a big asshole on this podcast when it comes to movies I don't like. But anyway, let's get right into it with Hulu's 2022 reboot of Hellraiser.
Beautiful, isn't it? It's really nice. You can hold it. What is it?
It's a puzzle.
And it's almost finished. Keep going. So if I solve it, do I get a prize?
I do.
What's your deal?
It has six sides, six configurations. It opens up.
It's time. Greater delights await. We wish to see you proceed. Feed it. Their blood. Their pain.
Excuse me. As I mentioned before, this is Hulu's reboot of the classic Hellraiser, or the first Hellraiser movie, and it is also the 11th or 12th overall film in the franchise, I believe. And this is the second time that a franchise has tried to be rebooted, I guess is the best way to put it. But anyway, the movie opens during a party at hedonistic millionaire Roland Voigt's mansion, where male sex worker Joey comes across a mechanical puzzle box, which Voigt insists he solve. Joey solves the configuration and is stabbed by a blade hidden inside the box, after which a portal opens from which chains fly out and rip Joey apart as Voigt demands an audience with Leviathan. We fast forward 6 years later, where recovering addict Riley is living with her brother Matt, his boyfriend Colin, and their roommate Nora. Riley's boyfriend Trevor convinces her to help break into an abandoned storage warehouse where they discover the puzzle box. Returning home late, Riley gets into a confrontation and argument with Matt, and Matt kicks her out of that apartment. At an empty park that she goes to after she's kicked out, she solves the box but avoids being cut by the blade. The Cenobites, a group of deformed humanoids, then appear and demand she choose another as a sacrifice. Matt wakes up after having a nightmare and then goes to find Riley, and he finds her blacked out, and as he tries to wake her up, he inadvertently cuts himself on the box, and he goes to a nearby restroom to clean out his wound. Riley then hears him scream and discovers that he has vanished. Believing the box caused Matt's disappearance, Riley and Trevor track down Serena Menaker, Voigt's former lawyer, who had hidden it in the warehouse. Menaker tries to take the box from Riley, but is inadvertently cut by the blade and is later taken away by the Cenobites. Riley then visits Voigt's abandoned mansion, finds his journals, and learns that the box has multiple configurations, each of which requires a victim to be marked by the box's blade for the Cenobites to take. On completion, the box allows its holder to receive a gift from Leviathan, the entity that rules over hell. Riley then sees an apparition of Matt and is horrified to discover that he has been flayed. Trevor, Colin, and Nora then arrive to take Riley home. While Riley explains her findings to Colin, the still-living but mutilated Voight, who is hiding inside the walls, stabs Nora with the box. The group then attempts to escape the mansion in a van, but Nora is taken by the Cenobites. Their leader, Pinhead, shows up and taunts Nora, then flays her. The group crashes the van and tries to walk back to the mansion. Riley then encounters Pinhead, who commands her to sacrifice two souls for the last two configurations, or the Cenobites will take her. After Trevor is injured by one of the Cenobites, the Chatterer, Riley solves the next configuration and stabs it. The Cenobite then gets torn to pieces as their next sacrifice. The group manages to make it back to the mansion, realizing that there are steel doors designed to lock the Cenobites out. Riley and Colin leave Trevor to rest, and it is revealed that Trevor has been working for Voight all along to find people to sacrifice to the puzzle box. Riley and Colin then trap a Cenobite, the Asphyx, to become the last sacrifice, but Voight appears and stabs Colin with the box. Voight then reveals that he sought new pleasure sensations after completing all of his sacrifices, but his reward was a contraption attached to him that twists his nerve endings, leaving him in constant pain. He completes the final configuration and traps the Cenobites, demanding they ask Leviathan to free him from his gift. Leviathan then appears in the sky above the mansion, and Riley retrieves the box and unlocks the steel doors, letting in the Cenobites. Riley saves Colin from torture by stabbing Trevor, choosing him as the new final sacrifice, and Trevor is mutilated and dragged to hell. Meanwhile, Voight bargains with Pinhead to grant him a different gift, and she offers him power. Voight is released from his contraption and momentarily healed, but before Leviathan impales him with a large chain and takes him away. Then tempted by Pinhead into resurrecting Matt, Riley refuses to wish for a gift because she knows the Cenobites' rewards are always twisted. Pinhead tells her that she has chosen to live with the guilt of her actions, and the box reverts to its original configuration, and the Cenobites disappear. As Riley and Colin leave the mansion, he asks her if she made the right choice, and however, Riley remains silent, and meanwhile, inside Leviathan, Voight undergoes a brutal transformation into a new Cenobite, and the movie ends. I'm just going to come right out and say it. This movie fucking sucks. I know, most reboots suck, especially when it comes to horror movies, but this one is just pretty fucking terrible. They basically made Pinhead, who is now a female for unexplained reason, and I don't really understand why they fucking did it. I mean, not that the actress who plays Pinhead does a terrible job. It's just, I don't understand why they decided to make her female. Maybe it was to be more quote-unquote woke. I don't fucking know. But anyway, they basically just turned Pinhead into a lame-ass vanilla version of Freddy Krueger with this reboot, and it just fucking sucks. I mean, it's overly long, and it overstays its welcome. And it's just pretty dull for about the first hour and 10 minutes into it. You know, not much really goes on. And Pinhead herself doesn't even make an appearance until about the hour and 10 minute mark. And she really isn't given much to do in this. I mean, even the Cenobites make an appearance before she does. And the Cenobite makeup really isn't that great. It looks pretty like Halloween City-ish when it comes to the costumes for them. It's just not good at all. And there's a significant lack of gore in this. Like I've said before, not that gore makes a movie. But when it's something like Hellraiser, which is known for its gory deaths and shit like that, it's kind of a big letdown. I mean, I understand it's Hulu, and they probably didn't have the budget that, you know, most big studios really have. But they could have done a hell of a lot better job than they did with this. It just sucks. Like I said, it's overlong. It stays its welcome, it overstays its welcome. And it's just pretty boring for about the first hour and 10 minutes into it. I don't really know why they wasted their time with this. They could have tried to reboot something much better. And as far as reboots go, this sucks. You know, just stick with the original three movies in the franchise. Let me take that back. The original four movies in the first four movies in the franchise. But everything after Hellraiser Bloodline sucks. Like in this Hulu remake, I mean, Pinhead really doesn't have much to do with any movies after Bloodline. Even though Bloodline really is kind of stupid, but it's pretty much the last good Hellraiser that would ever be made. Everything after it, including this remake, just sucks. What makes this remake even weirder is the fact that it's on Hulu. And if you don't know, Hulu is basically owned by Disney. So that makes this one of the most violent, and even though it's not all that gory movies in the Disney stable. So does that mean that Pinhead is now a Disney princess since they made her female? That would be pretty fucking weird. IMDb gave this for some reason a 6.1 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, and this surprises me, a 66%. Letterboxd, a 2.5 out of 5, and I give it a 1 out of 5. And that brings us to the other big blockbuster of this spooky season, and that is, of course, Halloween Ends.
It's been 4 years since Michael Myers vanished without a trace.
Just obsessed with death.
What are you gonna do when Michael comes back for you? Because he is coming.
But this time, something feels different. He's more dangerous.
The movie opens on Halloween night in 2019, where 21-year-old Corey Cunningham is babysitting a young boy named Jeremy, who pulls a prank on Corey by locking him inside the attic. Just as Jeremy's parents come home, Corey kicks the door open and accidentally knocks Jeremy over a staircase railing to his death. Corey is then accused of intentionally killing Jeremy, but is cleared of manslaughter. We then fast forward 3 years later, where the town of Haddonfield, Illinois, is still reeling from the aftermath of Michael Myers' latest killing spree in 2018. While Michael has vanished, Laurie Strode is writing a memoir, having bought a new house and living with Allison, her granddaughter, who is now a nurse. Meanwhile, Corey is working at his stepfather's salvage yard, and on his way home one day, he is haunted by high school bullies and injures himself in the process. Watching Laurie brings him to the doctor's office where Allison works, and Allison and Corey develop a relationship and later attend a Halloween party where Corey is confronted by Jeremy's mother. Corey then leaves the party and runs into the bullies again, who throw him off a bridge. Dragged into the sewers by an unknown figure, he wakes up and is confronted by Michael, who has been living there for the past 4 years. After holding him Against the wall by the throat, Michael lets Corey go, and on the way out, Corey is confronted by a homeless man and takes out a knife previously given to him by Lori, and in the ensuing struggle, Corey stabs the man to death and flees. Corey and Allison then go on a dinner date, but Allison's ex-boyfriend, police officer Doug Mullaney, shows up and harasses them both. Corey later lures Corey into the sewer, and Michael emerges, and although in a weakened state, murders Doug to Corey's delight. Corey then decides to become a new boogeyman figure and to take vengeance upon anyone who wronged him and Allison. Allison is later passed over for a promotion at work and in favor of a fellow nurse who was having an affair with the doctor. Corey then kills that doctor at his home while the nurse is killed by Michael, who had followed Corey. In annoying, Allison then plans to leave Haddonfield with an insistent Corey because of the past trauma, while Lori becomes increasingly suspicious of Corey after he begins mimicking Michael's behavior. After finding him asleep in the spot where Jeremy died, Lori offers to help him on the condition he leaves Allison alone, and Corey retorts by blaming her for the events that have occurred in Haddonfield and says if he cannot have Allison, no one can. Then, on October 31st, Corey returns to the sewers and successfully fights a still-weak Michael for his mask. Meanwhile, Lori and Allison argue as she plans to leave, and Allison, too, blaming Lori for Michael's actions. That night, Corey embarks on a rampage, murdering the bullies after luring them into the salvage yard, and in the ensuing confusion, Corey's stepfather is also accidentally killed. Corey then goes on to kill his mother, as well as the DJ and receptionist at the radio station. Back at the Strode house, Lori Foe attempts suicide to lure Corey to her, whom she shoots down the stairs. Corey then stabs himself in the neck to frame Lori for his death, and then in front of the arriving Allison. Michael then suddenly arrives to retrieve his mask and kills Corey. And then during a fight between Lori and Michael, Lori stabs Michael in the hands, pinning him to the table. She then stabs him in the chest and neck before removing his mask and slitting his throat. But he breaks one arm free and strangles her before Allison arrives and breaks his arm. Lori then slices his wrist, finally killing him. Lori and Allison then take his body to the salvage yard by police escort, attracting all the residents of Haddonfield, who follow them in a procession and dispose of it in an industrial shredder. In the following days, Allison and Lori reconcile, and Allison leaves Haddonfield while Lori finishes her memoir and rediscovers her romance with Deputy Hawkins, and the movie ends. Okay, so this is where I'm going to talk a lot of shit about this fucking movie. Once again, it just fucking sucks. You know, a lot of people say that Rob Zombie's remake of Halloween and Halloween 2 suck, but at least Zombie made an attempt to add some depth into Michael's character and, you know, give a reason for why Michael is the way he is. I mean, I quite enjoyed Zombie's remake of the first Halloween. The second one, not so much. But the first one, in my opinion, is one of the best, or most, is one of the, how do I put this? One of the better ones in the most recent attempts to rejuvenate Michael. The last two movies in this cycle, Halloween, obviously, and Halloween Kills, really aren't up to par with everything. I mean, if you've seen one Halloween movie, you've seen them all. You know, it's like, oh, look, Michael stabbing someone again. Woohoo. Neither of the previous two movies have added anything important to, you know, the lore of Michael. You know, like I said, if you've seen one Halloween movie, you've seen them all. It's just Michael stabbing a bunch of fucking people. It's not really anything special. Like the first Rob Zombie remake was. And this is not the conclusion to the current storyline, if that's what you want to call it, that everyone should have gotten. I mean, it's read the novelization of this movie. It gives a much satisfying conclusion than this piece of shit does. it's just not worth your time. I mean, the addition of Corey and making it so that there's quote-unquote two Michael Myers in this was just a very stupid and lame idea. It's like an episode of Scooby-Doo. You know, it's kind of tame. I mean, there are some good death scenes in this, but it's, to me, it's just a huge waste of time. It could have been done a whole lot better. And Michael's death? How fucking lame was that? They slit his wrist. That's it. And he dies. Why didn't they just do that to begin with? I mean, why the fuck was that so hard? I mean, wow, just wow. What the fuck was that? It's just a very unsatisfying ending to this franchise, or at least until Hollywood decides that they want to keep flogging a dead horse and bring Michael back. Because as we all know, no one ever, a horror movie franchise has ends or the final chapter in it or the final nightmare or whatever, such as they've done with Saw and Friday the 13th and, you know, A Nightmare on Elm Street. We all know that that's not the end. It's just the end of that cycle until they decide that, until Hollywood decides to try to make another buck out of a long dead franchise. So I highly doubt that this is the last we'll ever see of Michael Myers. You know, and there might not be another reiteration until John Carpenter is dead. But Michael will be back eventually. I can guarantee you that. And if they do bring him back and then they end the cycle again, it had better be a much better ending than this piece of shit was. IMDb gave this a 5.1 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, a deserving 39%. Letterboxd, a 3 out of 5. And I give it, once again, a 1 out of 5. And that just about wraps it up for this episode. As always, you can reach out to me at darksyde9034@gmail.com. I'm Dustin, and this has been Tombs of Horror. I'll see you next time.